This is PFW in Progress.
What they bring us today, you're going to fit in real good. You'll learn the rules. It's all up to you. I can be a good guy, or I can be one real mean son bitch. It's all up to you.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Them clothes got laundry numbers on them. You remember your number and always wear the ones that has your number. Any man forgets his number, spends the night in the box. These here spoons you keep with you. Any man loses his spoon, spends the night in the box. No playing grab ass or fighting in the building. You got a grudge against another man, you fight him Saturday afternoon. Any man playing grab ass or fighting in the building spends the night in the box. Any man don't bring back his empty pop bottle spends the night in the box. Any man loud talking spends the night in the box. You got questions? You come to me.
Paul Perillo.
Hell, I seen him eat 10 chocolate bars and 7 cold drinks in 15 minutes. He can eat busted bottles and rusty nails any damn thing.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
You just said he could eat anything.
My boy says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm shaking it here, boss. I'm shaking it.
Andy Hart.
We're going by my house, we're going to have a big meal. Then I'm going to show you a couple of farm girls that really knows what fuck.
Some guy named Tom.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants. Well, he gets.
PFW in Progress.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
All right. I guess with that firing shot, we're going to kick off another edition of PFW in Progress for a Wednesday. We're in the thick of training camp, Tom Casale.
Yep, thick of training camp.
It is hot out.
Going to be about 115 on the field today, I think.
It's oh, hot.
You're supposed to say, how hot is it?
Oh, how hot is it?
It's so hot that Vince Wilfork was doing a practice dummy drill, and he stuck to the dummy.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
Anyway, no, it's heat index is going to be well over whatever the bad number is.
Yeah.
And the temperature is going to be in triple digits today.
Awful.
It's going to be awful. So, but as Bill Belichick said, if this was the conditions for the first regular season game, he can pretty much guarantee that at 105, both teams would be out there and they'd be kicking off the ball. So, why not have practice? However, practice was scheduled for 2:30 today. If you're planning on heading down, it's actually going to start at 3:00. The team's actually going to do a walkthrough inside from 2:30 to 3, and then they're going to come outside from 3 to about 4:30 and have their practice. So they'll be out there, Tom.
We'll be out there, too.
So will we. A lot to talk about.
Tons.
A lot to talk about. You know, it's like, where do you start? I guess I'll start by giving out the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. We already have 1, 2, 3, at least 10 email pre-mails that have come in. We're going to get to them all, and your calls and emails coming up. But, Tom, where do we start? I have no idea. Oh. And by the way, Andy and Paul are coming, but they're serving food up there.
Right, and they found the way to the press conference, and I got lost. That's the only reason I'm here.
Well, I want you to hold that story from when they
will.
You're not having lunch?
I guess not.
Did you ask them to make a plate for you?
No, I didn't see anybody. I was all by myself.
Because I know that I told them to make a big plate. If they don't make you one, I'll share one of my hamburgers with you.
All right. I don't know. We got Branch. We got Brewski. We got Seymour.
Right.
Chad Jackson. Maloney, Dillon. Where do you want to go? Receivers? Brady was in time.
Let's start with your overall. This is your first training camp.
Right.
Let's start with your overall view so far of how camp's been going for the Patriots.
Let's be honest. Are you asking me up till now?
Yeah,
well, up till now, I see a severe lack of talent.
Really?
That's because most of the talent wasn't on the field for a large majority of the beginning. If you're looking at the defensive line and the linebackers are, you know, studs. They're destroying people out there. There's no doubt about that. But then on the other side, you look, most of the time you don't have light. You know, Kazier isn't there. You don't have Copen. You don't. Brady wasn't there for a couple of practices. The receivers. Sometimes Brown isn't there. Branch isn't there. You know, it's hard to get a good feel for the, I mean, Chad Jackson wasn't there for most of the beginning of training camp.
Right.
So what we're watching is a lot of times is a backup quarterback who hasn't started since high school throwing to a bunch of receivers who have never caught an NFL pass. It's kind of hard to get a feel for the offense when that's what you're looking at.
Are you concerned that the same thing that you're saying that you can't get a feel for, the rest of the players aren't getting a feel for?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because I was talking with Andy and I said, you know, if you line up the Bills and the Patriots are going to win because they're better, most likely. But the one thing that could happen is maybe Chad Jackson runs the wrong route and isn't in the right place, and Tom Brady hits Nate Clement in the hands, and he, you know, things like those type of things are how the Bills are going to upset the Patriots in that first game, or guys running wrong routes, you know, turnovers, things like that. So I am a little bit concerned. You know, Caldwell and Brady have had a lot of time to throw together, but he needs to get adjusted to these new guys like Jackson and whoever else is going to be in the mix.
Yeah, and so let's talk about, let's go right then to Deion Branch and the wide receivers. Obviously, Branch is still holding out. Looked like there might be some way, you know, some coming down off their demands when his agent said a few days ago, if they promise not to franchise him at the end of the season, we'll come to camp.
Right.
There was no, you know, answer to that by the team that we know of. He's still not in camp, and now officially he's held out longer than Seymour did last year, and if the Patriots want, they can be tacking on $14,000 a day to this. So this is adding up for him.
And I heard Michael Smith on ESPN. I don't know what kind of ties he has. He used to work here, so I imagine he knows people. But he said that this is going to get uglier before it gets better. So hopefully we won't see that.
Well, the thing about that, the latest, you know, part of that story is Tom Brady did an interview with Michael Silver from Sports Illustrated. I saw Silver in the tent a couple days ago, so obviously he got a little one-on-one time with the quarterback. And, you know, Brady kind of vented some frustration of not having Branch here and came out and said how it's his favorite player and needed him here and the offense needs him and he's one of the best at what he does and so on and so forth. I would expect Tom Brady to say those things.
Yeah.
You know, now a lot of people construed that as him saying that the Patriots aren't doing right by Branch or that the Patriots should get him in, you know, in. I didn't read it like that.
I read it like he's
frustrated not having his best receiver.
Yeah,
here,
and
period.
I know some fans thought that the reporter made Brady look bad. It's hard to make someone look bad when you sit down and you're getting quotes directly from him. He didn't make up those quotes. Brady said what he said.
Right.
And, you know, Brady is probably a little discouraged right now. He lost David Givens. Branch is nowhere to be found. You know, I know him and Caldwell look good together, but he's got a rookie on the other side. Troy Brown, guys like him, they look great in practice because he's been doing it for so long. This is like brushing his teeth.
Right.
But how much can we expect from Troy Brown? We're not going to get 70 catches out of him, and I'm sure Brady knows that.
Right.
So it probably is a little bit of frustration thinking, you know what, we got to get this offense going here. Because if they play offense like they did last year, I know he led the NFL in passing yards, but I'm talking about overall offense with chemistry and long drives. If they can't get that going, they're going to have a tough time winning this division.
And, you know, on the other side of the story, and there's always two sides to every story, Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, who we quote a lot on this show, we like his site, he's saying, a source tells him that quietly Brady is kind of upset with Branch not making this decision of not being in camp. So, you know, who knows what's really going on, but there's no doubt that everyone's frustrated with the fact
that... I think hit it on the head. I think right now everybody's frustrated.
Everybody's frustrated.
It's starting to boil over.
You know, no matter if you're in Branch's camp or the Patriots camp or in Tom Brady's camp or just the Patriots camp, you got to be frustrated that, like you said, Branch isn't here. And he could be.
Right.
All right, let's move on.
Let's talk about something good. Now, I just want everyone to know out there that I am a journalist, and I look at things objectively. So we all know my thoughts on Corey Dillon.
Okay.
We all know.
Right.
But to show you I'm objective, and I tell it like it is, Corey Dillon looks in tremendous shape from what he did in minicamp. He has stepped it up a notch.
I was just going to say, after those first 2 days, it seems like he has stepped it up.
Yes, and him and Maroney, look like a dangerous 1-2 punch. And throw Falk in there, too, because all the things he does. You're talking, because a lot of times we say Dylan Maroney, but we have to include Falk into that mix.
Sure.
So you're talking about three dangerous running backs.
And Heath Evans.
And Heath Evans.
Like, I'm only kidding.
But that's the thing, though. You know, if you can get those receivers in here, get the tight ends going again, get that passing game crisp with that running attack, this offense is going to be scary once it gets going.
Well, let's move over to, let's stay in the offense. Because we just talked about the wide receivers. Maroney Dillon looking good, Falk looking good. Brady has taken a few days off, but when he's in there, he's looking fine.
Right.
We're not getting into the backup quarterback because that's not an issue.
I don't think we have to worry too much about Brady.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
Let's look at any receiver that you think beyond the locks, and let's talk about the locks that we know. Rashay Caldwell,
Troy
Branch, Brown,
and Jackson.
And Chad Jackson. Those are your four locks. Assuming they keep five receivers. Right now, I would say that Bam Childress, who just has come back from practice yesterday, but automatically coming right in and working a lot with the ones and when they spread out, he's one of the first people to come out in the field. Looks okay. But is there anyone besides Childress who you say might have a chance of being that fifth wide receiver?
I gotta be honest with you. I don't know if any of those guys can play in the NFL. I mean, Rich Mazinski shows great hands. He doesn't drop a ball. But then, he's small and he doesn't create a lot of separation once he's lined up with a corner. Then you got Caron Henry, who looks the part. I mean, this guy looks like he should be an NFL receiver, but he doesn't always catch the ball fluidly. Kind of lets it hit his chest. So I agree with you. If they were going to go five right now, Childress would be the fifth. John Stone's kind of hot and cold. One day he'll look good, one day he'll look terrible, and that's not good. If you're a guy trying to make the team, looking good one day and bad the next is not good.
The thing about Stone is I think they think he might have the potential because they're giving him a lot of reps. And, higher up.
Plus he can return, too, so it adds to his value.
I think they want him to be able to make the team.
I agree with you.
But I agree with you. I don't think that I'm seeing that much out of him that I would say, he's probably going to be the fifth guy. Right now, I'd have to say it's Childress.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, maybe Stone and maybe, and I like Caron Henry. Maybe they make practice squad. I don't know. But
yeah, he would be a good player for the practice squad, someone that has the physical talent, and maybe give him a year or so in the system, see if he develops. I think that he would be a definite candidate for the practice squad.
Let's move over to the tight ends because everyone's talking about this is going to be the year that Ben Watson, breaks out and, he's got freakish skills. National guys are saying it.
Yeah.
I hear Clayton, Chris Mortensen, and Peter King.
Of course, they're not here watching Dave Thomas like the rest
of us. But they're all talking about, Watson. He's had a lot of reps. He's been out there. He's looking fine. I don't think we have to worry about him right now. Daniel Graham, though, no sight of him.
This is a big concern for me.
Yeah.
Because you have two shoulder injuries to a guy who's basically used as a blocker. And when your shoulders are injured, it's hard to block. So this is something I'm afraid is going to linger into the season. Even if he starts the season okay, I feel like it's something that's going to keep reoccurring. And Watson, Thomas, and Mills are not blockers. We saw Dave Thomas try to block.
I was watching NFL.
He can't block.
I was watching NFL Channel last night, and their draft expert, I forget his name.
Mayock.
Mitch Mayock.
Mike Mayock.
He's talking about the Patriots draft and how Brady has to be happy with how they drafted, the first four rounds. Talked specifically about Thomas and, how he's got good speed, great hands, but he is not a good blocker.
No, we saw, and I know this is early, but we saw him in the blocking drills, and he was getting just lit up. Yeah. I mean, every linebacker that went up against him was almost lifting him up off the ground. And this is a strong guy. I mean, Dave Thomas is a strong guy, and they were just running right through him. So let's
talk about the tight ends. You've got Watson. We don't know what's going on with Graham, but he's just not out there.
Right.
Dave Thomas has looked good catching the ball. Garrett Mills is not out there.
They brought
in Walter Rasby, who's a
blocking tight end.
Could you make a plate for Tom? No. Tom, do you want one of my hamburgers?
I'll see.
Because I figured
I got lost.
I figured they'd figure. You got it. Tom's got a story to tell you.
Yeah,
about
I got a story.
He got lost. So
and I set off a fire alarm.
All right. So Guys have just come back. Paul's back. Andy's back. Kyle's here.
With no microphone, but I don't think you'll notice.
We got a lot of emails, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Taylor Twellman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Great free kick, diving header by Detsy.
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
Gillette Stadium explodes.
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. This is PFW in Progress.
And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
I mean, they get the metric system. They don't know what the f*** a quarter pounder is.
Well, what do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac.
What do they call a Whopper? I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Do you have it?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers! The cornerstone of any nutritious box. What kind of hamburger?
Cheeseburgers.
No. Where'd you get it?
McDonald's with
Andy Hart.
Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger. That's that Hawaiian burger joint. I hear they got some tasty burgers. You mind if I try one of you?
Some guy named Tom.
Hell, I seen him eat 10 chocolate bars and 7 cold drinks in 15 minutes. He can eat busted bottles and rusty nails any damn thing.
I can eat 58.
Nobody can eat 58.
You just said he could eat anything.
My boy says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
And you never know, Glory might stop by.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger. I do love the taste of a good burger.
DFW in progress.
Want a hamburger? No cheese.
All right, we're back. Everybody's back. We've been talking, guys. We're kind of going through and getting
We're talking about the terrible situation at receiver.
Tom's perspective, because, you know, this, after all, is his first training camp. We talked about the receiver
Let's see if they agree with me. He asked me what I thought, and I said I thought there was a lack of talent on the field, aside from the starting front seven on defense, which I think is dominating. Would you guys agree? So, I mean,
I'm not even sure I'd go front seven with the Bruschi issue and my still partial fears about Monty Beisel.
And Seymour hasn't been out there.
Well, I think he'll be out there. I'm not worried as much about that. I think the D-line is the
D-line
for the defense.
Yeah, the
rumor said he's going to be out there
today. I think Tom is talking about camp, right?
Right, at camp in general. I'm watching a guy who hasn't started since high school throwing to a guy who's never caught an NFL pass. That's not exciting. I don't know what to tell
you. I agree.
Yeah, I would agree with Tom.
I figured Andy would agree because, you know, everyone was terrible.
Fred, I'm sure you agree.
Tom, they're not saying that, you know, this means like it's
the end of the
world.
No, I don't think the team stinks.
I'm saying
he has to
be. I know Tom isn't, but Andy is.
No, I think
I'm agreeing with Tom that training camp, a lot of days at practice, due to injuries, contracts, PUP, whatever, there hasn't been a significant amount of talent on the football field.
Right.
Yeah, and I would agree with.
I want to see Tom Brady chuck one up to Deion Branch for 70 yards.
Right.
But I did. Hey, guys. To show that I was objective, I gave Corey Dillon his props. I says he looks in much better shape than he did in minicamp. Seems to be getting along with Maroney well. Things, you know, looks pretty good out there. So
that's when he's not lying on his side with his hand
still
head
don't
on
think
his hand.
Still don't think he's going for a G, more around 800, but I'll give him credit. He looks pretty good out there.
Ain't nothing for a boss. I don't know what that means.
All right, so we left off tight ends.
He used to call himself the boss entertainer.
We're talking about tight ends. Let's move over to the offensive line. How's Ryan O'Callaghan looking?
I don't know. Andy loves him.
I'm going to swallow first. Okay. He looks... Gary, don't know.
Oh, he's got that one.
He's been running with the ones. Gorin has finally seemingly kind of moved back a notch into the twos, I think. He's been working both left and right. This has all evolved over like 4 days, so obviously.
Well, they've been monitoring Matt
Light,
so he's back in and out.
Yeah.
And when he's out, they've had Gorin playing left.
Left, and Gorin's taken some at the right. Kazier's still out, so you don't know where that stands. Britt and O'Callaghan have taken reps with the ones at right tackle. Last night, when they went to that first unit hurry-up offense for the minute 30 on the clock, end-of-game situation, Ryan O'Callaghan was the right tackle.
Okay.
So I think he's at least getting reps with the ones, and that's all you can ask for at this point. You know, obviously the next big challenge is preseason action. None of this is live, so
right.
You take a step forward in the preseason.
Now, Copen's been at practice during the unit drills and been just kind of standing around in a T-shirt and shorts, not practicing.
Well, that's all he can do on PUP.
Right. So he's not back yet, and Hochstein has been...
Now, will
know,
Brady play in the first preseason game?
A little bit.
I don't believe Michael Vick will play. He tweaked his hamstring, and they said there's a good chance they're going to keep him out, so we won't see.
Brady will probably play a couple series, if not a quarter.
If Brady continues to be monitored as he's been, missing three practices, if he misses a preseason game, I have concerns about Matt Castle's arm, because I think he showed a dead arm the other day, and he's been throwing the ball a lot because they haven't shown a willingness to allow Todd Mortensen or Corey Bramlett to run a team offense.
Well, that was
those
was,
guys are just there.
Yeah, but that's the
they're
argument.
Not there.
But that's the argument we got into the other day when I was talking about it, and they said the same thing. But if they're there, then they have to do something or get them out of there because they're not
they
doing anything, Fred.
That
they're
they
not
can
do,
ever
the,
do anything.
That assistant coach throws the ball better than those two. I mean, get somebody in here.
When they do the wide receiver and throwing drills, you need four quarterbacks, so you got to have them in there. But they're not there to take reps away from Matt Castle.
I just don't. I agree with Andy. I don't think Castle should be throwing every single pass in practice.
Okay. All right.
Depending on the receiver situation,
send a memo to Mike Wojcik. You know, I don't know.
For that preseason game,
check to see.
I'm not so sure, you know, Tom, to answer your initial question, I'm not so sure we see Brady, depending on who is out there for, you know. I think there's a chance that some guys that need to be, you know, he needs to get, you know, a little bit of a relationship going with some of these receivers, but Troy Brown wouldn't fall into that.
Right.
Deion Branch, whether he's here or not, wouldn't fall into that. You're basically dealing with Caldwell and Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson just came back, so I'm not exactly sure where he's going to be, you know, this time next week.
Right.
When the decision's going to be made, you know, I would assume he'd be ready to go. I'm not sure that you're going to see. I'm not so sure, Brady. I don't think Brady played in the first preseason game last year. if I'm not mistaken. And I'm not sure that you'll see him this time around either.
All right, so let's move over to the defensive side of the ball.
Where we have some more issues.
Go over to the defensive line. Seymour, it's rumored that he's coming back today. We'll see at 3 o'clock.
Picked a bad day to come back.
According to what Bill just said, that the story was wrong. So now, whether you say
what story are you talking about?
The story that he was coming back today because his contract impasse has been, you know, his contract extension was signed is wrong, according to what Bill said at his press conference. He said it has nothing to do with contract. Now, it might be a coincidence that he returns today. Bill said he was day-to-day and on PUP, and he's day-to-day. Now, if he comes back today, that story doesn't become right.
Right.
You know, that's because the story that was in the Boston Herald today stated that, according to a source, the reason he hasn't practiced thus far is was an agreement between Seymour and the team to wait until a certain date for him to be able to practice and have that extension signed. And according to what Bill said, Bill was asked about it at the press conference, and he said this has nothing to do with the contract at all. Nothing.
But it's possible that the reporter found out Seymour was coming back.
Exactly.
And trying to find out why,
to which
kind of assumed that it was contract. So he
took I would say it's
wrong.
A coincidence if he comes back today.
Unexcused.
Well, I think he might have found that information out and put two and two together that didn't belong together.
Could be. Doesn't make the story right. That's all I'm saying.
In any event, with the return of Seymour, now Jarvis Green, what's the deal with Jarvis Green?
Well, he hasn't been out there.
MIA. For a couple days now.
You got to talk into the mic, Kyle.
But more importantly, Marquise Hill hasn't been out there.
The new guy needs to learn the ropes.
Marquise
What's that?
Hill will never be out there.
I said more importantly, Marquise Hill hasn't been out there.
Marquise Hill started the camp, tweaked himself, and hasn't been seen since.
He tweaked himself?
He got tweaked.
He limped.
He actually got hurt. I think he hurt his ankle. I think he had a guy fall on his ankle.
So...
did he pay that said guy to fall on his ankle to earn a year on IR?
My boy LaKeven Smith has been getting a lot of reps, though.
Yeah, how does he look to your trained eyes?
My trained eyes, he's a fast, enormous dude.
Yeah.
So that qualifies him.
Okay.
But, you know, especially with Marquise Hill and Green out right now. I think
All right.
Mike Wright getting good reps.
Mike Wright, yeah. What else?
A lot of guys getting good
Jonathan
reps.
Jonathan Sullivan
now.
Not practicing. Do we know what the deal is with him?
Yeah, he's got to pass the conditioning run.
Report is
sometime around 200.
According to reports, he did not pass the conditioning run.
Sometime around.
Flailing around on the ground in convulsions after one of the early runs.
Sometime in 2012, we're expecting him to really nail that thing down.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, convulsing.
Yeah.
Early on, like after the third run.
Right. Not like he finished, but one of them, you know, it was a little couple seconds past. No. He just couldn't do it.
And Tom Casale, Patriots it's Football broken. Weekly, died laughing when he read it. The flopping around like a fish really got me.
Let's look at the linebacking situation. Just finishing up.
Not
here.
Good.
Not good.
Well, not the, we know who's good, Fred. I'm not talking about Vrabel and Bruschi and Colvin, but Tully Banta-Kane, not happening.
Yeah.
I don't see anything from him. I've been keeping an eye on him. Because I did my linebacker story, and I was hoping that he wouldn't get cut before it came out, and I was actually worried. Let me put it that way. That's how he's been performing so far.
He didn't get cut before it came out, but he did get yelled at.
Yeah, a lot.
Pulled out of a drill, too.
Now, we know Bruschi has something going on. There's rumors that he might have some type of broken wrist. We don't know the severity.
Oh, my arm! It's broken!
But I do notice that Belichick had spent a lot of time in the last two practices with Barry Gardner going over things. So maybe Belichick knows something, obviously.
Well, Bruschi wasn't there. He's been spending a lot of time in general with the linebackers. Sometime with the inside linebackers. In the last few practices without Bruschi there, Gardner has kind of been in an elevated role.
Yeah.
Plus, last night, Beisel wasn't there. So you had Gardner and Davis in sort of an elevated role. And still the youngsters not getting a lot of run.
Yeah, that's not good. You know, look at the outside, too. What happens if Vrabel or Colvin go down? And, you know, Colvin had the bad injury before.
That's
so
problem,
it's just, who's coming in? Banta-Kane? Seriously? Like, you're going to line up an NFL defense with Tully Banta-Kane? Not good.
Well, Tom, what are your thoughts on the development of Tully Banta-Kane?
Tully...
I like Banta-Kane. I think he's a nice guy. I'm just saying, from what I've seen in practice, it doesn't look like he's got it.
Cully, that became...
pass coverage has been atrocious.
Well, and maybe you guys can shed more light on this because you've been around longer. In a 3-4 defense, if you're not getting any pressure from those edge rushers, that's a huge problem, isn't it?
Yep.
I would think, especially for him, because Kyle just hit on it. He's been, you know, bad in pass coverage, which is understandable. He's a guy who never played linebacker until he got here, and he hasn't had a lot of chance to play linebacker here in the defense. When he has been on the field, it's been strictly as a pass rusher. You know, the very limited plays that he's gotten, I can imagine Bill has just put him out there and said, you know, you're going after the passer here. You know, in 10 career plays, he might have 3 sacks.
And I'm not even sold he fancies himself an NFL pass rusher.
I know where you're going, and I agree
else.
With you.
I'm not so sure he's an NFL pass rusher, never mind everything else
right.
He needs to evolve into to be a starting
and
linebacker.
Bill said during minicamp at one of his press conferences that transition from end to outside linebacker takes about 3 years, so my guess is he's expecting Tully Bantakane to show that progression, and if he doesn't, he could be in trouble.
Plus, well, let's be honest, the Patriots have the market cornered on those guys. If it's so hard, well, they had Bruschi do it, they had Vrabel who did it, mm-hmm. and Colvin.
Right.
Well, they're going to have some misses. Maybe he's just flat out one of the misses.
It was a 7th-round draft
right.
pick. It's not
so,
like they picked him 10th overall.
I mean, fans get caught up in, well, Bruschi did it, and you know they'll just coach him up, and in 2 years he'll be a great linebacker. Well,
but,
it works. It doesn't work more often than it works.
Now let's switch to Beisel, because I know me and Andy have a similar opinion on him. The guy is working his butt off. I mean, he's first in all the runs. He's just, yeah. during downtime, he doesn't even sit. He just starts running sprints. So for that, we commend him. The problem is that he put on weight, but he's not one of those guys that gets wider. He just gets more cut. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And his tackling, he's got to stop tackling guys like Corey Dillon High, or he's never going to tackle anybody.
Well, everything. I don't think it's just his overall playing leverage. He's always high. We saw that pass rush drill
yeah.
where he's trying to get to the quarterback, and he's too high, and
oh,
he's easy
awful.
To block like
Worst
that.
Pass rusher on the team.
So,
worst pass rusher on the team.
I'm not so sure it's about weight or even, you know, we speculated maybe he flies around too much, needs to slow down. Maybe it's just he doesn't play the type of fundamental football in terms of leverage and what you need to do as an inside linebacker to be successful in the system.
His center of gravity is just too high
mm-hmm.
in everything he's
yeah.
done.
Because the commitment's there. I mean,
no question. He works harder than anybody
and,
on the football
And
field.
Like I think Paul or Andy said to me during practice, he seems more comfortable this year. He's talking with people.
Yeah.
He's showing people around. So if he doesn't get it done this year, it's just based purely on talent.
Right.
Chad Brown re-signed with the Patriots this year. He looks like he's going to be playing outside. How's
Thank
he doing?
God.
He has played virtually all outside. I have seen him occasionally drifting in here or there,
that's
but mostly
package stuff.
Yeah, I think I was just going to say that, and I agree with Andy there. I think that they're probably going to give him a very, specific, defined role this year rather than last year. I think they asked him to play three different spots, and he struggled with that. He didn't really play well at any of them, and he admitted that. I'm not, you know, speaking out of turn here. He talked about it openly when he got back here the first day of camp. He spoke for a long time and said that he really had a tough time picking up the things that they wanted him to do, and he had a tough time doing all the different roles that they asked him to do. So I think that Belichick will probably say, you know, this is you're probably going to be your last hurrah here. We'll put you out on the outside, maybe in sub packages like Andy said. Go after the quarterback, see if you can come up with a couple of plays for us.
At this point, and I know it's early, do we say he's 5? Regardless of what happens, if, say, Bruschi's hurt for a while, does
right
Rebel go back in and
yes.
Brown comes in on the outside?
I would say yes.
He's 5. And
I think that he would be, if everybody's healthy, he would be 5, you know, in
right.
terms of a sub-package guy. But if someone went down and they needed someone to play a full game, I'm not so sure he would be 5.
Wow.
All right, secondary.
Who's 5?
Why am
I don't know.
Why am I optimistic about the Patriots' defensive secondary and feel that they've got a lot of quality options there? Am I right in thinking that?
I think they have a lot of options.
I agree with that.
I don't think you're wrong, but I'm not as high on it, I don't think, as you are.
0-16, Paul?
Well, I think,
they have
I
a
think
plan.
Fred, you would admit that that's one of the bigger question mark areas. They're using Wilson at corner.
Right.
Means,
we don't know how it's going to pan out,
right.
but I think they're looking at some good options.
That's where I disagree with you a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think that they do have a lot. I mean, you can rattle off a lot of names. You know, you can go...
can rattle off
Hobbs,
a ton of names.
Samuel, Warfield, Wilson, Hawkins, Mel Mitchell, Tabucky Jones, James Sanders, Guska. There's a lot of names. Randall Gay, a lot of names we're familiar with. What we're not familiar with is how well all of those guys, with the exception, I would say, of Wilson, Hobbs, and Samuel, we're not really familiar with what the rest of those guys are going to give you. Now, if you don't get a lot out of all of those other guys, you're not better.
Right. And I feel in this system they will.
I think
all
Hawkins,
I know is
Hawkins
that they'll have a plan and it'll
steady.
Be a good one.
I think I agree with you, Tom. I think Hawkins and Wilson will start.
Hawkins has been very steady, I think, in camp. And
Bill talks about Hawkins in, I think, one of those kind of glowing terms.
I think he sounds like a very intelligent person, and I think he was able to pick up this system very quickly.
Yep.
And like I said to Andy, I said, what makes a guy go from the street to being able to contribute in the Patriots defense? And he said Hawkins says a lot of it has to do with injuries. He's just been injured a bunch.
He listed three or four injuries over the last couple of years. And even when he came here, I remember he said he was at one of those places in Arizona, those athletes, performance-type places, getting healthy because he wasn't healthy early in training, got cut. But I think, yeah, the mental is what puts him over the top in Bill's eyes, because he came in quickly, was like a calming force back there,
right. Got
everything, could communicate. And I really think he and Wilson, whether Wilson's at safety or corner and Hawkins at safety, I think they've solidified themselves as starters.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sold on the other two slots right now. I don't know who they're going to be and how well they're going to perform. I don't know how well.
So let's just throw it out. Wilson starts opening day at cornerback. Who starts opposite?
Hobbs.
Samuel.
I think Samuel right now.
Hobbs comes off the bench.
I'm going to side with Paul and go with Hobbs,
okay. Even
though he hasn't had
the best of training camps. That's great. Now you got Samuel coming off the bench at a nickel. That's some depth off the bench. that's pretty good depth.
I agree.
You know, as compared to last year,
Wilson can play corner in the NFL.
Compare that to last year.
And now you have to have another guy
replace him,
the ability to play safety, because you're losing the safety.
But you got to Bucky
And of course, we left out Rodney Harrison.
There's a lot of names there, Fred,
and
that we don't know
back,
how we're going to play.
Miami, here we come.
Well, Harrison coming back, that Harrison comes back, that's a different name you're thrown into the mix. We do know if he can play near his capability, we know what he can give you.
Right.
We don't know what Tabucky Jones is going to do. We haven't seen him since 2002.
All right.
And I just want to say, Eugene Wilson at cornerback, we don't know that he's a starting caliber NFL player as a cornerback. We've seen him succeed at safety. We've never seen him start at corner.
I think if he starts at cornerback, it means that he's beaten out the other guys on this team.
So it just all gets back to they have a plan, and it's a good one.
But we still need to see it unfold on a Sunday game football field when he lines up against a team's best receiver and see what happens.
This is true. All right, now, finally.
That's Fred Fuller. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Finally, the kicking situation. Gustkowski and Gramatica.
I knew I had another question at the press conference today that I had to ask.
Oh, okay.
I got caught up in the Gunner talk.
All right, it's my layman's opinion that right now Gramatica has the edge.
I agree.
You guys all share that.
I agree.
I think Gustkowski came on strong yesterday.
I don't agree, but I don't think that the other guy has an edge either. I don't think there's really been anything discernible to differentiate one from the other.
But if you had to trot one guy out right now for a big
Gramatica.
Kick, who would it be?
Gramatica.
For a big kick?
Yeah.
I'd go with the other guy. Because I'm convinced that Gramatica can't make a big kick.
And I don't know about the
rookie yet. So I'll go with the rookie.
Okay.
I'm Adam.
I'll go with the unknown over the known.
I almost got Gramatica nailing this job down.
Really?
I just don't know what anyone...
Were you at practice yesterday?
I don't know what anyone has seen.
Last night or...
Both. Gustkowski had a solid day. Had all his field goal. His kicks were consistent.
And again,
I thought he had a good day.
Didn't hit anybody on the sideline.
Stronger.
True. I thought it was his first...
Didn't hit Gramatica in the stomach the way Gramatica hit Gustkowski in the stomach the day before.
Yeah, I think this is a battle to the end.
Okay.
I think that they've both
I think
been
the rookie gets it because he's the rookie and they think he has an upside.
Or maybe he doesn't get it because he's the rookie.
He's shanked a lot more in the few kicks that we've seen in practice so far.
And Kyle has been watching the kickers.
Gramatica has. Right?
No, Gustkowski.
You talk about misses. I think Gustkowski might have missed more.
Yeah.
But you want to talk shanks. I haven't seen Gustkowski shank one. Not a single one.
On field goals or kickoff?
Both. I've seen Gramatica shank several.
No.
In both of them.
Well,
stuff.
What do you consider a shank?
When the ball doesn't go in the direction that the guy's kicking it. When it goes to the side, out of bounds,
yeah.
Which happened twice to Gramatica in the same day.
Well, side out.
Gustkowski did that
once, field goals,
too.
I've seen Gramatica.
I didn't
seen,
say I've seen every
I've
kick.
I've seen Gustkowski push a lot of field goals
but
wide.
That's not
a lot.
Shank.
He pushed the other one the other day that was 20 yards wide.
Yeah.
You know, they were kicking down at the small goalpost, and Gramatica kept missing the net. to the side.
This all goes back.
0-16.
You should have signed Adam Vinatieri.
No, this all goes back to my first game here, which I was watching again on the NFL Network, the Steelers-Patriots game, when Vinatieri trotted out and everybody had that peace of mind. We all packed up.
Everybody packed up.
I was new, so I was just following what these guys were doing. I was like, we're not staying for the rest of these guys. these guys had their bags on their shoulder, were walking up the stairs. I mean, that's how sure they were that he was going to nail that kick. And I know he's not here anymore, but you don't have that peace of mind when that kicker trots out, no matter who he is this year.
It's going to make it that much more exciting, Tom. Don't worry.
We like
about
exciting.
It. Don't worry.
And when
it.
I say the rookie, I think I don't think that he's done anything that Gramatica hasn't either. I wouldn't give him an edge. I just think that they've both been. I think they've both made a good majority of their kicks. I think if Patriots fans are concerned about the performance, I think based on what I've seen, they've both made a lot more than they've missed.
And so by the way, Adam,
they've both been pretty good.
Adam's missed in yeah,
absolutely
in yeah. camp as well.
Adam's not been perfect.
Paul's got it even. Andy's got Gostkowski. Fred and Gramatica got Gramatica, and I've given Gramatica the job.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which means we know nothing.
We need to see more competition.
Gary, let's take a break. When we come back, I promise we're going to get right to your emails.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Great free kick, diving header by Dempsey.
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twelman!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
Gillette Stadium explodes!
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. This is PFW in progress.
Oh, I love your suits. You must be a bitch getting a size 68 extra fat. And a 12 dwarf.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch. Universal presents Burt Reynolds, Sally Field, Jerry Reed, and Fred Paul Perillo.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
And Andy.
What we're dealing with here
is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Andy Hart.
I saw it, you son of a bitch! I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses!
Some guy named Tom.
Jeff, do the letters F-O mean anything to you?
PFW in progress.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder.
All right, we're back here. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. And I'm going to get to the emails right away. Does anyone have anything to say before I jump right into the emails here?
I think the AC is broken because it's hot as heck in here.
It is. Yeah, it's called the hot air. That's what it is.
Your tots.
So.
What is it? Is this heat index of 117 I heard today?
Is that what it is? I don't know. I don't know what that means, but it's hot. It's hot. So.
There were some questions about the heat raised to Bill in the press conference, to which I thought he had.
No, I
thought it was interesting
that, yeah.
when he said that, you know.
Yes, you know, Sunday 105.
If Buffalo was coming here on Sunday and this was the weather, I know what they'd be doing.
Yeah.
They'd be kicking the ball off at 105.
So
and he's right.
Wilfrick might be inactive.
He's right.
Coach, I mean, play in triple digits.
I can totally understand the Pop Warners, you know, and the youth football groups, which, you know, most of which I understand have canceled practice today. I think that's a wise thing. But at the pro level, you have supposedly finely conditioned athletes with the best medical assistance on hand. You practice. You take all the precautions you can, but you have to practice.
All right, let's get to some emails. Dave from Manchester, New England. Not New England, Manchester, England, I should say. By the way,
England,
he listens
England.
To the podcast.
Yeah,
I'm checking last week's show. Thousands of people downloaded it. I mean, that's pretty impressive. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Not bad.
Yeah. So that's in addition to the people that are listening while we're doing it. So very interesting. Anyway, he said,
so
I just finished.
1012.
I just finished listening to the podcast of last week's show, which was brilliant as usual, and found it interesting that you feel we have been unlucky with injuries the last few years. Despite the number of injuries suffered, I actually feel we have been reasonably lucky, as most of the injured players have been replaceable, with a couple of notable exceptions. But how many Super Bowls do you think we would have won if Brady or Vinatieri had been injured? Mostly it is the quality of the players injured, not the quantity, that counts. Lastly, I would like to add my name to the growing Tom Casale fan club. I think he's a great addition to the team and did a fine effort presenting. One thing is, are there any pictures of you guys on the web? As it would be nice to put some faces
to
the voice.
I have a picture of Tom somewhere, but it's got one of those little number signs in front of it.
It's going to be a fine
special
edition.
Anybody.
Well, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it.
A lot of people, big Tom Casale fans.
Is there?
Well, I think Tom, they go either way. They either love him or hate him.
I think you guys should, you know, sit up and take notice of what's going on. There's a movement going on.
All I'm
going
to tell you is,
I've been a big Tom fan for quite some time. So I don't know where you've been. So
disrespectful to anybody. I
guess he's
that's why I'm a big Tom fan and not a big.
He's
Andy
a Patriots
fan.
Fans type of guy. You know,
he is a
super likes
fan.
People with talent.
Gary's got that sound bite. He wants. He's trying to sneak in.
Go ahead, Gary.
So I'll take my ball and go home.
Now he's taking his solitaire game and gone home. All right, let's see, next one.
I'm just waiting for the Kyle Passetti fan club to get started up.
Yeah, yeah. Gary, you're going
to
work on, if Kyle's going to be a regular on the show,
get a club.
Can we get Kyle some South Park sound bites?
Kyle?
Such an idiot.
That's
you know the one about Kyle's mom? Right. It's a song from the movie, it's good.
All right, let's see, Chris writes in, I must compliment you on all consistently working to make the delivery of Patriots news better and better. Both the site and the paper are undergoing a nice evolution.
Yeah.
Fred
wrote that one.
My question centers around the Pats front office business philosophy. I certainly understand their practice. It makes sound business sense, but it makes me a little wary. In Green Bay, there was always the mentality, oh, we have Favre, therefore we have a chance to win the Super Bowl. The team lost some players to injury, but they also seem to let some key players go for that very reason. In the last few years, you can see hints of the same mentality around the Patriots. It's echoed on TV, the web, and in the papers whenever predicting the Patriots' upcoming game or season. As long as the Patriots have Tom Brady, they can win. My question is that do you think the organization owes it to themselves, the players, and the fans to mold their team, quite frankly, dig a little deeper to pay someone, if necessary, for the now, because they have a once-in-a-generation player like Brady. Do you see this philosophy diluting any future campaigns? I realize that they have re-signed a lot of players and continue to draft well, and that I am being a wee bit melodramatic, but sometimes you just need to ante up because it's the right thing to do. What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, I agree.
I think that's very interesting. I do. I think that you look at it and you can fall into that trap saying that I have a once-in-a-lifetime player who always gives me a chance to win. And I think there's some truth to that. I think when you have one of the best, if not the best, player at that position, you always have a shot. But I think it's interesting. Do you then load up and try to take advantage of that guy's, say, 8 to 10 year window where he's going to be a dominant force and do everything you can in that time?
And I agree with you, and you're going to cite...
I'm not saying it's the right thing to do.
I know, and I'm going to say something, and I know what you're going to say in response. I'm going to say...
Whatever they do is the right thing.
No, I'm going to say, look at what they drafted in the first four rounds this year, and you're going to say, but look what they've done to the wide receiving core. Is that right?
No, but I mean...
Fred's having the show on
I'm talking more in turn. Yeah, I know. Do you need
the year before, they drafted two offensive linemen, or two.
But I'm not...
I think they are looking at the offense.
Fred, I think we can all agree that they don't look offense or defense in the draft. They value their players. They get their spots, and it's a coincidence if
and
they all have...
said it many times.
If they all have...
Carpenter was there. We don't know that he would have been the
corner. What I'm talking about more so is, do you maybe stray a little bit from your philosophy... salary-wise, when you have a guy, and I'm just using this as an example, not a specific, but a David Givens. Do you maybe go out of your way and say, you know what, I have a chance here, I have a special quarterback who...
You mean like the Colts do?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
And again, I'm not saying right or wrong. They've obviously have a good program here. I mean, I think we can all agree that the success here is unprecedented. They've won, you know, 3 out of the last 5 titles. No one's complaining about their success rate. I'm asking, do you think that that might factor in at all? When you look at a guy like Brady, as good as he is, do you, instead of saying, you know what, David Givens, we'd love to have him, but we just can't go another million higher. That you know, strays away from our philosophy.
I think
that's what they do, and it's hard to argue with the results. I'm just asking, is there a way that you could maybe look at that differently and say, our philosophy 8 years down the road, and I know that probably all the parties concerned won't care about that because I don't think that Belichick will be here 8 years down the road, but do you look at it and say, once Brady's skills begin to decline and I need to turn to another quarterback, I may not be in a position where my value philosophy is good enough to win titles.
Well, maybe then that's when you change it.
Well, I'm asking. I think it's an interesting email. That's all.
At that time, is it too late, and have you not won as many titles if you could have by selling out while Brady was there?
Well, I mean... They've won three, and
I'm just asking.
You know,
The larger question, I think, is how long do we keep talking about the past and not the future?
If they signed kept Ty Law last year, do they win last year? Maybe. Who knows? I can't answer it either way.
What the emailer is trying to say is, did they win because of their philosophy, or did they win because Brady is just that good?
Right.
Okay. But their philosophy didn't keep them from winning.
No, because Brady's that good.
Not yet.
And now the philosophy might
be... talking about down the road now.
Your talent level might be decreasing since 2004, gradually.
But you have to weigh it by doing what you're saying, paying a little extra for the guys that are going to help Brady. What are you sacrificing?
Apparently
not depth at linebacker.
The guy didn't necessarily say to help Brady. It's just the offense. I'm talking about the team in general.
I mean, they paid a lot of money to Richard Seymour.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and I'm sure next year they're going to pay a lot of money to somebody else.
And they also re-upped Mike Vrabel for a pretty good amount of money.
So,
but I'm just... Fred, it's not black and white here. There is a debate that you can talk about.
Mark,
I know there are decisions to be made, and you know that they're the right ones.
Mark from Hingham. Hey guys, I listen to the podcast every week at work, and I'm glad that I have an easy way to get Pat's roster updates and training camp news. There you go.
Fred, there's no question you wrote that.
No. In September, I'll go study abroad in Japan, which means I will miss the entire Pat season. I'm wondering if you know of any way I can watch the Pats on my computer. I know that Major League Baseball has Major League Baseball TV. Does the NFL have something similar? I'm willing to be up at 3:30 a.m. on Monday mornings if it means I can see the Pats live. Thanks, guys.
You cannot.
Well, I know that you can listen to it.
You can listen to him.
But you can't watch it as of right now.
And if he's willing to be up, isn't there a chance he could find like an American sports bar with DirecTV? Does that work worldwide?
I don't know how that works.
Well, I know that
the
NFL ship does show games in Japan. It just depends on which games
game
they're showing.
Right.
So.
If you can always go to NFL.com and get their pass for the season for the radio,
right.
NFL radio games, and at least you can get them that way and listen to them.
Yeah. So, all right, Justin in Alaska.
Hey, Justin.
Not a bad show last week. Not great, but as a Pats addict, I couldn't tell you the difference. You mentioned my team.
Great, not great.
Justin,
they're all the same.
Justin gives somebody a T-shirt. Now he thinks he can start saying we're not that great.
Now he can critique our individual shows.
That was a long time ago, Justin.
Stop living in the past with those Super Bowls.
Any news or guesses when Seymour will be activated? Also, when did this injury occur, or is this from last year's knee injury?
I don't have an answer.
We don't know.
So that he's going to be out there today. But we'll certainly, if he is, tell you about it on Patriots.com. Will he make it? So it seems that Willie Andrews is showing some promise in the return game. Do we see him making the team as a returner? Also, I still say we should not use Maroney as a returner. I'd hate to see him get hurt in the return game. If he gets hurt running the ball, then the breaks. But during the return game, tough to swallow, kind of like an hour of America's Got Talent. I don't know.
Show's terrible.
Show sucks.
He's right.
Oh, is that? I don't even know.
I'm almost going to guarantee this one. I think Maroney's going to be one of the returners. Because I can't guarantee that Willie Andrews will make the team. And to me, those are the two best return guys on the team. I think Maroney, to start the season, will be a returner. If he starts getting more carries, then I think it'll change.
Yeah, I think that by week three, Maroney won't be returning kicks anymore.
Okay.
You can fill in the rest of that thought.
Because he'll be the starting running back.
Exactly. NFA.
Let's see. Let's.
Hey, it ain't the Da Vinci Code.
Justin wants to do an either or. He says you must choose one. Remember, Fred, you can't say neither or both. So, are you saying that I waffle, Justin?
He has you pegged.
One.
Brian Morey passed you the tarp.
They don't call you the equestrian.
Okay, either
panel.
Or. Castle is the backup.
Get
or Kerry Collins is the backup.
Castle.
Lose your left hand's pinky finger in a bizarre Astroglide incident, or your left big toe rots off over a 3-week period.
Pinky finger.
Astroglide.
What's an Astroglide?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I don't want any rotting of my.
No, I take it quick and quick and painful.
Pats have to play a regular season home game in London or Tokyo.
Neither.
London.
Neither.
Because
London.
I'm not going.
It's
going
to be in China.
London.
I'm certainly not going to that.
Your
London, baby.
I don't know
why.
What this.
Because I always wanted to go.
You have to choose either or. Your last name
Ben,
is Sucks Parliament. Or Blows.
you suck.
I'll go with Sucks.
I like
Andy
Blows.
Sucks.
I like Tom
Andy
Blows.
Blows.
I like Tom Blows.
I think I'd go with Blows.
I go with Sucks. What do you go with, Fred?
I'll go with Blows.
Everybody goes with Blows.
Yeah. Because I'll spell it B-L-O-S-E.
No, I think I would go. Well, you got to spell it the way it is.
No, Tom Blows.
No, you don't.
I'm going with Blaws.
No.
We really
Blaws.
Need Bilo in here to answer this question.
Tom Blows.
Finally, Belichick is out for weeks 4 through 10, or Pioli announces he's heading to the Jets in 07.
Pioli is heading to the Jets in 07.
Yeah.
I have to pick one of the.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Me too.
Finally,
a lot more important.
We
already called me once.
We play the NFC North this year. Of course, you can never tell who's going to be good nowadays, but I really don't see any of those teams as, on paper, better than the Pats. If we did lose to one, I'd say it's at Minnesota. What do you think?
I would agree.
I think they're going to lose to the Bears.
I think if they're going to lose one of those games, and I don't think they're going to lose any, I'll go with Andy, Chicago.
Because of Urlacher.
By the way, did you see that?
No, I just think it's one of those teams that they come here later in the season. They don't mind playing.
Talent.
They don't mind playing one of those mucky 12-10 games. That's how they win. And
they get a
good
defense.
Maybe they get lucky and win.
I don't
win.
Like the Bears
this year. I don't either, Tom.
I think the Lions have a better chance. The old Mike Martz, Bill Belichick chess match going back and forth.
How'd those work out?
Well, I said a chance. I didn't say they were going to win.
I just think, I agree with Tom. I think Chicago's probably due for a drop off this year, but I don't think any of those teams are going to
win. The emailer's right and Paul's right. On paper, it looks like 4-0.
Right. Brett Favre threw 5 picks in practice yesterday, I saw.
That will not be one of them. I think we all agree that the one will not be
Green
Bay.
I'm going to guess that that's going to be
Brett
the least
Favre,
likely. Even though it's on the road, I'm going to say that's the least likely out of the four for the Patriots.
That's road trip for us. Not a very good day for the Packers.
All right.
What do you think,
Eat those
Fred?
Little cheese things again.
What do you think, Fred?
NFC North, who do we lose to?
It's Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, and Detroit, just in case.
He goes, thanks.
Colts!
Well, if we have, if I have
if
to,
if you have to
one,
pick one of those teams that we lose to,
I would say Detroit
because we forfeit. We weren't able to field a team.
Yeah, Brady was doing his Movado watch design that day or something. You know,
they sneak up with that Detroit personnel.
No, yeah,
20 years
all
later.
Of a sudden they went to Detroit and the Lions knew exactly what they were doing.
Let's see. Sean McLaughlin writes in. He said he was at camp this past weekend, took about three practices, but he missed us. It seems like we're rock stars, he said. Jeez, I don't know about
we're
that.
We're always out of the tent every day.
Say, we're in the tent.
Sitting there in our t-shirt.
But here are his thoughts from practices. One, without seeing Bam Childress out on the field, John Stone is impressing me with his work ethic in right now.
Ooh.
With this Deion Branch thing getting ugly by the day, I could make the team.
No.
Two, I may be wrong, but the most important free agent beside Deion Branch is Coach Belichick. I remember 3 years ago that Mr. Kraft announced that at the start of training camp, he signed a two-year extension. Now we know how secretive things are up there, but is this starting to be a Parcells situation where we have a lame duck coach? I know it's a little different, but I think it's time to start to wonder. I believe, and I know they're not talking about it, but I think he's under contract for longer than that. I think
Fred's right.
Three, a football question. Seeing the offense lineup, I noticed they still use the alert audibles or Omaha play. They seem to call it constantly. My question is, does this start becoming predictable when other defenses know what they are doing for the last 3 years? Or is it just a way to call signals in the huddle? Seems it's similar to last year and the year before. Well,
I think it's just a way to call signals at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
I don't think there's anything. I think Omaha can be used for a lot of different things. I don't think it's a predictable situation.
I thought it was something to do with the snap count. I thought it was after they do their Frisco and whatever, blah, and then it's Omaha and there's something, and I think it changes, but Omaha's like we're set and the snap is coming on a silent whatever. I thought it had something to do with that.
I can tell you that I can remember hearing that at practice for as long as I've been covering the team.
And they've won a couple Super Bowls in that span.
Four, even though I like John Stone and Rashay Caldwell is looking good, I still think we need a wide receiver to help out in the season, or are we going to have the first four tight ends set?
You don't have four tight ends right now.
I think he's getting a little overly optimistic about John Stone, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with the Caldwell thing. I think Caldwell's had a very good
camp. I think Caldwell's had a nice camp, yeah. He's going to be a fine receiver.
Fine camp.
And if Branch comes, if Caldwell's as good as he's looked in the first 5 days, and Branch comes at some point, and Troy Brown has looked fine in Chad Jackson.
I think Troy Brown's looked as good as he's looked in the last couple of
games. Well, like I said to Fred before you guys got here, he's always going to look good in practice because he's done this so long.
Plus he's fresh. Right now he's fresh.
Exactly.
If he's healthy and playing offense, he'll be okay.
Finally, Sean says, kudos to the Pats for making training camp an event, not just another practice. So there, Andy. I guess this organization does something right.
What did I do?
See, that's 31 other teams.
The only thing I complain about is
that's his favorite one.
Right.
That's his favorite one right there. You know, at least this organization does something right. Like, we take shots at the organization.
Right.
I don't take any shots, Fred.
Neil Smith is also from England.
Defensive lineman?
We had a Manchester. Neil is a...
defensive lineman for Kansas City.
Yeah.
He used to wear the...
thing over.
Yeah, from Nottingham.
Really? He moved over across the pond after his career ended.
Let's see. He says, I'm wondering what the Patriots' options regarding Branch's continued holdouts are. Come week one, could the Pats force him to play?
No.
Branch obviously wouldn't like this, but considering it is his contract... Okay, so no. The answer is no.
No.
Two, don't be held to ransom and let Branch stew and not play him. This would mean Branch would get no pay and still owe us a year's play wherever he is ready to return in the future. No.
If he wants to come back, the team pretty much has to let him come back.
Right. And pay him. Then the only other question is if he doesn't come back by, week 10? What is it?
Yes, I believe it's week 10.
He can miss 9 games.
Yeah. Once you go beyond that, then you run the risk of not getting an accrued season, and then you'd be in the last year of your contract all over again.
Right. Let's see. And finally says, I've been a Pats fan in England since 1985 and have been saving for years to pay for a trip over the pond to see the guys in action. and now I'm fortunate enough to be coming over to Foxborough in November to take in the Bears game.
Excellent.
Can't wait.
It's a loss, according to Andy and Paul.
Do you know if the Patriots are kind enough to grant lucky visitors behind-the-scenes tours?
No.
Not necessarily on game days. I imagine it would be an incredible experience.
What are you bringing?
To see what goes on inside the walls of the Raiders. Perhaps we can have Andy give you a tour.
I was going to say, doesn't Fred usually lead those tours?
So why don't we...
about 37 seconds
let
long.
Us know when you're coming in, Neil, from England. And
we'll show you the boiler room.
You don't get to see the kitchen.
We won't show you the red level, because if you go up there, you get lost. But if you want to go through the boiler room, I know everything.
Basically, Tom, getting back to that, did you just go over to the regular elevator that we come in every day and go all the way to the red level there?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
And then
you came up
and there was
club.
Somebody giving a speech downstairs, and I got all nervous and wasn't sure if I was supposed to be up there. Then the fire alarm went off, so I said, I'm going outside. Then I then I found myself in the players' parking lot, which I knew I wasn't supposed to be in, and I said, this is a disaster. Then I thought about going home. I didn't have my keys.
He was just going to call and say, I ran away.
But why'd you go up to red level instead of one?
Because the press conference is at red level. Right. So I thought I was just going to come out somewhere near the press conference and, like, walk right in.
Magically just be there?
I just...
You do know that when we go up there, it's a different elevator.
I understand that, and I understand that it's a huge stadium, but I wasn't thinking of that at the time.
Okay. I love it. I was thinking of going home.
But I didn't have
I got really nervous when Mike Wright was walking out, because I knew I wasn't supposed to be there.
You should have said, Andy's right. You are a little bit bigger this year.
Neil also says, I heard last week you talking of a Pats fan club in Belgium. Don't forget to give us at the UKPatriots.com a mention. So there you go. There's your mention. They're one of the...
I think he's part of that group that contacts me all the time.
Big fan clubs in England.
Oh, so you can give him a tour.
No, and he likes the podcast as well. Another person who likes the podcast.
Thanks, Neil.
So. And Neil, make sure you come bearing gifts if you want a good tour.
It's good to know and that we're hearing we're doing...
Thanks, Neil Nose.
...good by the fans by offering these podcasts. Because I know the guys here give me a lot of trouble because they don't like doing the podcast, but, you know...
You knuckle deep.
I was going to say, you want us to leave you alone with your nose?
I was stopping a sneeze.
I apologize!
Let's see.
I got that.
Dwayne writes in, do you think that Belichick wasn't too satisfied with the wide receiver position last year? It seems that there wasn't too much effort put into keeping the wideouts that were free agents last year, aside from David Givens. Do you think that this is a position that the front office seek to upgrade this season? The offseason moves to the wide receiver position reminds me a lot of how the defensive backfield was cleared out prior to the 2003 season. Yeah, I think beyond Givens, I don't think there was anything worth keeping.
Right.
Yeah, but
including Tim Dwight, who I kind of liked.
I don't necessarily
think Tim
Dwight.
Now.
You don't like Tim Dwight?
No, you did like him. I'll say this: those guys are better than what's here right now.
Right.
But that's a little misleading with Branch's situation.
No, I'm pretty sure that those guys were NFL caliber receivers. Tim Dwight has done some things.
And Andre
in the
Davis may not
I think
be.
Rashay Caldwell is an upgrade.
But beyond that, you got nothing.
But we're talking. Yeah, we're
your
talking
boy
about
Karan Henry. Sorry.
I'm talking Karan about that.
Stone hands. Sorry. Matt Shelton.
Eric Davis.
He's
Matt
Rudy.
Shelton. Bam Childress.
Limping around on a bum hamstring.
Those guys
aren't
NFL
credit,
receivers.
But he doesn't belong in a 2 minute drill with Tom Brady.
As much as I dislike Rudy, I think that's a knock against Rudy.
Doesn't anyone else think that Brady has to pull out an Elway-esque performance this year to be a Super Bowl team? This offense has endured such an overhaul that it's up to a strong running game and consistent performance by Brady for the Pats to have a chance at a Super Bowl. There's no more Vinatieri to make the game-winning kick, so now Brady has to take the game to the next level and throw touchdown passes to get to the big game. My break is over, guys. Have a good weekend. And, Tom, you are the man.
All right.
Well, I would
love Tom. The Casale family all got online.
I would say that Elway didn't win Super Bowls with Elway-esque performances. Those were towards the end of his career.
Not until he got Terrell Davis. I had a vision the other day driving home.
Oh, boy.
And
you're back on the Broncos now?
Every once in a while I have these, like, things that just occur to me, and they end up being... true. That
usually causes us to have to do work.
This team, this is the makeup of this team and how they will win games will be pounding the ball on offense and a really strong defense.
I'll say that the only way I would think that Brady would have to have an Elway-esque performance to get to the Super Bowl is if Branch doesn't come back. If Branch plays, they have four reasonably good receivers. Mm-hmm. They have two what I think should be NFL caliber running backs. They have the best quarterback in football, and they have at least two very good tight ends. maybe a third with Thomas. We'll see what happens once he starts playing real games. You have Kevin Falk as a third down guy. I think that's plenty of offense.
I do too.
Now, without Branch, the trickle-down effect comes into play, and you know, Troy Brown and Caldwell probably take on roles that in Jackson that they're not ready to handle yet. I think you need Branch there. So without him, I think you could struggle, and you might ask him to do Elway-type things.
I also think he's Tom Brady. I mean, he's reached that level where he's one of those. Someday somebody's going to say, is he going to have to put the team on his back like Brady? He's reached that level.
And it won't be.
It's Tom Brady being Tom Brady. He's won in different ways.
Yeah, I agree. But it's not going to be like Elway, because Elway always did it in such a, you know, a dynamic,
run a little bit, kind of way.
Brady's never going to do it like
that. He has way more physical ability than Brady does.
Brady
has never really not done what he needed to do.
Right. And Brady's going to do it by making the right throw at the right time. But whereas Elway might, on 4th and 10, scramble around to buy himself, you know, 3 extra seconds and then hit, you know, one of those, you know, Shoemaker wide receivers, the three amigos, none of which could play, you know, for a big first down and win a Houston playoff game.
As we saw when Bill was showing us tape, the difference between Joe Montana and the Niners' pass routes and the Broncos and Elway's pass routes.
Remember that?
I mean, physical ability, he might have been the best of all time, Elway. So
takes a 12-step drop and just stands there.
That's my contention.
Surveying the field like I
own you. My contention is that he's the most talented quarterback ever to play.
Are you a big Elway fan?
I am a big Elway fan. I mean, I think.
Did you buy your first used car from one of his car lots?
No,
I was actually thinking of buying a car from him and having it shipped over.
Just so it says Elway, John Elway Chevrolet on the back.
Just to support the team.
Original course.
Yeah.
100 pounds of teeth.
See, those people think we're joking when I said Fred was jumping up and down when Champ Bailey got that pick last year.
No, I'm off the Broncos.
I heard him go Super Bowl.
You were just
Bowl,
ordering a car from John Elway's dealership.
No, that was years ago.
Hey, just think, if they lose to the Broncos this year, Fred and Kyle give high fives.
That's true.
He'll have two people that'll be excited.
Yeah.
Instead of just Fred last year.
Paul, while you're pontificating, why don't you fill everyone in on some of your media events this week?
Well, Fred, tonight I'll be appearing on the Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight program on Fox Sports New England.
Okay.
That'll be at 6:30 with Gary Tangway and Greg Dickerson. Always
welcome
live, never scripted.
Okay. Telegram and Gazette.
Except for Tangway.
Any
always
big show
live,
appearances
never
this week?
Never entertaining.
Sorry?
Any big show appearances this week?
I have been going back and forth. My people have been trying to get something set. I think maybe next week for the big show. I'm looking for my return.
All right.
I will be filming something tomorrow.
Really?
I think tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Filming.
Why don't you fill in our listeners on what you're doing?
For some Patriots-related programming that will be appearing on ESPN.
ESPN?
Classic.
I thought it was
Classic.
ESPN Classic?
Just so you know, I used to think that was a big deal. Then I saw Jerome Solomon on one.
I'm not exactly sure what those are going to...
kind of devalued the programming.
I'm not exactly sure what those are going to involve, but I actually thought it was last week, and I showed up at the hotel in Boston last Thursday only to... look in my bag and look at my email and realize
what's
I was
up at the hotel. It's a hotel room in Boston. It's one photographer that asked him to take his shirt off
and rub his nipples.
It was Kramer and Costanza.
All right. Scott in Washington, D.C., I would really like some insight into what may be the most important question at camp. Of all the rookies, Maroney has quite a head of hair. So will you let the vet shave it off when it all comes time for the annual ritual? This is big stuff here.
Don't you ever read any of my stuff?
What about asking?
When
about
did you read that?
I wrote it in the minicamp thing about Maroney, about how the hair, the locks fly out of the back of his helmet, and it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with those locks once the veterans get their hands on them.
I think they should do one of those Indian things where they shave all the way around and leave the ponytail.
He's not the only one, by the way. Is it Corey Mays?
Corey Mays.
Yeah. Corey Mays has the same kind of style.
Ah, I was just getting used to him doing his Booker T like flip of the hair after a play. What am I going to see now?
Scott also says, I'm enjoying the idea of Belichick getting into almost a position coach mode with all the time he spent with the linebackers. I like the thought of him sharing his input with that unit, and I also imagine that he enjoys getting to do some positional coaching. Now, if only that extra coaching could pay off and deliver up some successful backups out of Gardner, Alexander, Roach, Woods, Mays, anybody. Here's hoping it works out. So
I don't know why that would be a positive thing.
If they had a backup?
No, if they need the head coach, you know, why is it good to see the head coach doing positional coach work?
Because he's the greatest living coach in NFL. That's why.
He's God.
He's living coach in NFL.
Idiot. It's true.
I just would be more comfortable if the position coaches we had were capable of doing it without any help.
This is why this guy's the head coach, because he just has been around longer. He knows. Look, I remember, and I'll give credit to your guy. One of the first practices I ever saw Bill Parcells out, he spent extra time after the practice with Ty Law.
But I'm not saying that the head coach shouldn't be spending any time.
Is I done?
Yes.
He said, yeah, you were. I mean, you know, what's wrong with that?
Okay, continue. Finish.
No, and he was showing Law a little technique that he had picked up over the years of going up with the opposite hand rather than one. It gets you a couple extra feet up in the air. And Law was very appreciative of that. And, you know, it's just, I think it's excellent when a guy with the experience of Bill Belichick has the time to focus on one unit.
Hey,
give them
the
benefit of his experience.
No, and again, I'm not saying that I think it's a bad thing that the head coach is working with positions and, you know, imparting his wisdom and
That's
techniques
his
and stuff
system.
Like that. No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying, why is it a good sign that he is taking on the role of one position coach?
I was going to say, Fred, you said has the time to work with a position or is forced to work with a position.
Well, with all the with all the young guys, I think he wants to make sure that they're learning it from him.
The young coaches or the young players?
No, the young players.
I'm
he
concerned.
Wants to make sure that they, you know.
I think you have a young coach there.
I'm concerned about it.
I think you have a young coach there and he wants to make sure.
And that's part of it. But I think it's a great thing.
It's a great thing for the players long term, maybe.
Yes.
But it might not be a great thing for your team in the here and now.
Look, would you rather have Lawrence Taylor and all those guys on your team? Yeah, absolutely. But we don't have them.
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying would I rather have Dean Pease as the linebackers coach with 20 years of experience in the defense, or and I don't want
to
take a shot at Matt
with
Patricia because I like Matt Patricia a lot. But he's a young coach.
He's a This is a first-year coach in this position. I'm concerned about.
He was on the offensive line
last year with the personnel.
And that's one of the reasons I'm sure you know Belichick is in there.
That's why I'm concerned about
him. All right.
Is that time that he has to put into that taking away from something else that he could be doing?
No, he's always doing something.
I know one person wasn't happy about it. Tully Bantakane.
Right. Why don't you just go away, Bill? Leave me alone.
Parcells didn't teach Belichick squat. Let's see, Rob in Ashburn.
Is that a real Fred Kirsch quote?
Oh, absolutely.
Interesting.
Great show last week. This is a rebuttal for Tom's comment last week when he said that I'm your typical Patriot fan in a nutshell when I mentioned Andy Gresh was singing the praises of Hudson Hauk on Fox Sports New England. I have no problem with him comparing Hudson Hauk with Dante Scarnecchia, but there was no mention of Dante anywhere on the show, and it is called Fox Sports New England, not Fox Sports Miami. For an example, Andy Gresh is self-confessed Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but he hosts the Patriots Rock Radio Network, something that just doesn't sound right to me. You also have Ron Borges and Nick Cafardo, who write for a Boston paper, have their own personal agenda against the Crafts and the Patriots, and you couldn't get a straight story on the Patriots out of them if your life depended on it. So yes, I think the Boston media has their own agenda sometimes. On to some questions.
So wait a minute. Just to recap here.
Yes.
We should get who's the emailer? We should get someone like
Robin Ashburn.
We should get someone like Rob to host it because he wouldn't have an agenda telling us that Dante Scarnecchia is the best line coach in football.
I don't know.
That wouldn't be an agenda?
I didn't see the show.
He
said
it would relate more to New England
fans. What it was about.
But that's
if you're going to use an example of a great
line
coach, why not use our own guy?
The point is. Well, first of all, I think that Dante Scarnecchia is a terrific coach. I think he's a terrific guy. I like him a lot. I have no idea if he's
crap out of Hudson Hall.
I have no idea. I have no idea how good of an offensive line coach he is. I don't.
He runs sprints.
Absolutely,
50-yard sprints.
Now the second part of that is, he says Andy Gresh is a professor Pittsburgh Steelers fan. That's true. He grew up in the Pittsburgh area. He likes the Steelers. So that means he can't host a Patriots pregame show?
You like the Broncos, and you host this show.
Exactly. Now, does that take away your objectivity?
Silence from Fred Kirsch. It's not even worth answering. One, get well to David Patton, who has missed the last few days of Redskins camp with viral meningitis.
Get well so the Redskins can cut you and you come to the Patriots later.
Two, recently Lawyer Malloy had to make a rather large donation to a church to get the use of his number 36 in Atlanta from Jason Webster. Webster, being a very religious player, was not swayed by Rolexes or vacations, but told Lawyer to make a large donation to his church, and the number 36 would be his to use.
So that happened?
What's that?
He made a large donation, and he has...
Oh, well,
that's a good story.
According to Rob...
That's a good story.
At this point in his career, why is Lawyer Malloy worried about what number he's going to
He's always worn that number.
He's never going to be known as number 36.
Why is that?
It's not that important.
You really are... just.
I don't know. I heard people in the media tent say, "Hey, 36, Lori Malloy." When it's James Sanders.
They're trying. These are guys who are trying to show that they remember what number Lori Malloy was.
I disagree.
You know,
will remember that.
Karan Henry was wearing number one. I heard somebody go, "Oh, there's John Smith." So
I heard someone say Jakari Wallace.
I heard someone say Pat Patriot.
I heard someone say Cut.
That wasn't Freddie.
There's my guy. He's out wide. He's out wide. Oh, he dropped.
Oh, he dropped it.
He'll either be on the practice squad or somebody else's roster. Or practice.
Double
squad.
Or nothing.
But he'll be playing in the, you know,
double or nothing.
He'll be earning an NFL paycheck this year.
Double or nothing.
A real
never
paycheck.
You paid me the last time.
You said that I won.
Okay. Oh, and I tried to pay you, and you wouldn't take the money.
I didn't take the money then because I really think I lost.
You guys got in a fight for an hour on the radio show with who was right and who was wrong.
Listen.
You each were trying to say that the other guy was right, first in radio history.
Hey, Tommy, suck up. We all know why you've endeared yourself to the fans. You've suddenly turned into Fred Kirsch, too.
Oh.
And that's why
I said,
suddenly Patriots.
Did I say Paul Perillo?
Suddenly Patriots Nation is
did I say Paul Perillo? I said
you guys.
Gone to
the Tom Casale Express.
What was it, $10?
$10.
$10.
He will not draw an NFL paycheck this year.
We have to get the rules. Is a practice squad paycheck an NFL paycheck?
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
So if he's on a practice squad once, 1 week of the year.
Yes.
Yes.
Not all 16 weeks.
Right.
Yes.
One practice squad check of $4,800.
What part of this don't you understand?
I think you lose.
You want to make $5 the month? Right?
He was going to say Fred, but you pissed him off, so now he switched to you lose.
Gary Avery.
He looks big. Somebody's going to give him a job just because they'll see him and don't really know what he does.
That's the point. All they see is the film. Oh, he looks good. Gary Abrams.
Before he drops that one in the end zone.
Hey, they're just going to show him running because they're not going to show him catching the ball.
That's why they don't throw a lot to him because they don't want him to prove how bad he is, and so somebody will pick him up. What the hell are you talking about?
Strong case you're making for your guy.
I'm trying to help
you
get out.
Good strong case you're making for your boy.
He looks good. He needs to catch the ball.
Yeah. Gary,
that quarterback looks good. If he could throw, man, he'd be something. He
turned into Paul Perillo in high school.
He was a quarterback.
Gary, was that
so we need him to catch, not throw.
As long as he's on one end of the
another
bat.
Dynamite drop-in. He's not the best color man in the business for nothing.
You know what?
Kyle.
Fred's trying to read the next email. All of a sudden, he decides, this is when I'm going to talk.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Gary,
Fred would like to see you after the show.
Ticket holder session last night.
He was one of the 22 million people in attendance.
12,000 people came to the...
No, it was 11,881.
Okay.
That's 881.
Gary says he was there last night, enjoyed it, sat in the 11th row on the 15-yard line, a tease considering I sit in section 304 for the games.
Feel your pain, bro.
Anyway, my question is about Eric Warfield. He seems to be non-existent. I only caught him on one play, and he didn't seem to fare very well. Is he just not getting the system, or is he done with football? What's your take on him? I was hoping he would turn out to be a steal like Mike Vrabel.
Well, luckily you didn't see him on any other
Thank
plays.
You, Mike.
He probably would have fared about just as well. He just, I don't know.
He's a Patriots.com who's not.
I was telling Paul I was watching the Chiefs-Cowboys game of the week on NFL Network, and that was the game. Bledsoe had a huge game.
In fairness.
And they
Bledsoe's done that to a lot
But they were beating him like a drum. I mean, you could tell they were going right after him all game long. And this was a problem his entire career in Kansas City. So I just find it hard to believe a player that teams constantly went after in Kansas City because he stunk is going to come here and all of a sudden be a great player.
Well, you know, it's pretty funny. We're finding out from the guys we're getting from the Chiefs why their defense has been
right.
so bad.
And wondering why Patriots keep going there for players.
Right. So, Jason W. writes in, love.
Jason Whitlock?
Love the camp reports, especially the addition of who's hot, who's not, best play.
Another email from Tom.
Let's get off Tom already.
That was my idea.
That is something that says
it all.
Off
your knees, you're blowing Tom.
What?
That was my idea. That was
Gary.
And it was not stolen from another team's website. I came up with it all on my own. So,
Tom?
That may or may not be true, but...
He would like additional features of a weather report as well as a quick 2-3 line outline of what the practice consisted of. I know you usually do state that, but something more formal may be better.
Well, go to PFW Online, subscribe to the paper, and you'll get exactly what you're asking for in the daily camp notes part of the paper.
There you go.
We have weather and
report
a little,
is
the little
hot. You know, hot
if, the weather, if the weather isn't mentioned in a web update, assume that it was
right,
sunny in the 90s.
If it rained.
Because that's basically what the weather
was
every
day. Yeah,
like
when I wrote 8 paragraphs about a rainbow.
Let's see. We all know the second practice Friday p.m. was not all what BB wanted.
That is not what we're looking for.
He wants a little bit more evaluation of how the practice went.
Last Friday morning?
Just sloppy, drop passes, people running bad routes.
In general, he wants that type of analysis in the camp report.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
What?
Now, on to Dion. What gives... I wrote that one, by the way.
He's ripping Paul in that, I guess.
Will Everett get solved? Well, the party's deeply entrenched and a train wreck headed for what rooks are surprised, positive, negative. So first, Dion Branch. So who mentioned today that Michael Smith said that this is going to get uglier before it gets better?
Michael Smith is
the king of coming in after everybody writes and says that something could happen.
Right.
My sources are telling me that this could happen.
Right.
That's Michael Smith's reports in a nutshell. Basically, the reports lately have been this thing is. I mean, Michael Silver just had a 4-page story in Sports Illustrated yesterday that Brady is very concerned. You know, kind of painting it out that he's making a little bit of a plea. You know, to get Branch back, and all of a sudden Michael Smith comes out that night. This thing could get ugly. Thanks. I think we've passed the point of ugly.
All right. Let's see. Mensa from the Bronx. Hope you're all doing well. I also hope it's not as hot in New England as it is in New York. We are creeping into 100 degrees mark and beyond.
It is in this room.
Yeah. Do you guys actually think that there are any NFL experienced quarterbacks out there you might fit into the system? Honestly, I'm a little bit scared about our backup situation. What do you think, Jeff Blake?
I don't know. I mean...
At this point, I don't think it makes any sense.
You got to look at it. The only problem I would have is if Brady is out for 4 to 5 weeks. Then I think you got a problem, because can Castle play for 4 or 5 weeks? If Brady's out for the year, it's draft time. It's all over. Forget about it.
Yeah,
and I don't care what we said that when Bledsoe got injured and Brady came in. Matt Castle isn't Brady. Brady had a pretty good career at Michigan. So the problem would be a 4-game stretch where the Patriots need to go 2-2 and kind of
I think that's an excellent
hold
point.
It down until Brady returns. Can Castle do that?
Or could any veteran that's available now and doesn't know the system do that?
Well, that's the thing.
Well, that's why
you know?
I think it's too late at this point to do it, because you're not going to have anybody who's going to be up to speed. But I think Tom's larger point, in the short term, if you had a guy in here that you could be reasonably confident could hand the ball off, make a couple of third down throws, a la Jeff Hostetler on that second Giants Super Bowl run back in 90, you could probably survive that and get Brady back in there. I'm not sure Castle would be able to do that for you. Now, if you were, you know, lost Brady for the year, I agree. It doesn't matter if you had someone, you know, with experience filling in or Matt Castle filling in. The difference between, you know, 6-10 and 3-13 is nothing to me.
Now, remember, I know that the Patriots like versatility. Karan Henry started quarterback in Connecticut.
Anyway, that's why they'll keep him on the practice squad, Fred. You could live you could live to fight another day. They just have another you know, athletic quarterback when they play, you know, teams like the Falcons.
Sure. Scott writes in. He's from Raleigh, North Carolina. I never got props when I write you guys, though. You never remember me. Oh, well. Anyway, I hope you feel guilty, because I'm representing for the Pats down here year in and year out. Grogan had Don Calhoun, Sam Bam Cunningham, and Andy Johnson in the backfield. Thoughts.
Sam Cunningham.
I read the other day that the Patriots still have about $10 million in cap room this year. With Branch still unsigned, do you think this means the Patriots are looking to make some kind of big move when a bunch of salary cap casualties free up? Maybe a top flight receiver.
Fred Kerr.
We know who wrote this
one. Are there any teams that you know of that are very deep at receiver that the Patriots might be coveting in anticipation? There could be a linebacker or two they're looking into as well. Furthermore, what do you think of the strategy if it's true? Maybe there is something about Branch that they are not crazy about, durability, size, failure to get free when there is safety help. Your thoughts?
Paul, you've been following football for a while, right?
Not nearly as closely as you do, though.
How many top-flight players?
Lawyer Malloy.
I'll simply say that Lawyer Malloy
is the only one I've ever heard of.
From the Patriots.
I'll simply say that you don't need cap room to sign a cap casualty gets cut at camp. I mean, not a cap casualty. Sign a training camp cut. You don't need cap room.
They're not going to sign $50 million contract.
Anybody cut at the end of August, early September is going to be available for the veteran minimum.
That said, we did see an interesting name cross the waiver wire today. Rashawn Woods was cut by the Chargers after getting traded to the Chargers this offseason from the 49ers.
That's interesting if you play Bill Walsh's college football.
Because
that's where he was good. I'm sorry.
It's got to be something
wrong
with him.
Andy, I disagree. I think he's more talented than about five receivers in this
camp. I was in the Andy camp when he came out.
to the NFL. I thought he was going to be a very good NFL receiver. But at some point, you got to say we were wrong because the Chargers traded for him, and the guy lasted a week in training camp.
I got to think something happened, don't
I
you?
I agree there's probably something there, but he's more talented
because
than guys
even
that are in this camp
even if
right
you
now.
Were the worst receiver,
so Maurice Clement's a lot more talented than Heath Evans.
They play different positions, first of all. Heath Evans is a
just
fullback.
Saying,
Maurice Clarett is a tailback.
It's up in the old noggin.
But think
sometimes
about
that's part of playing, Andy. You know, you have
so
to
you
have
don't
the
give anybody a chance.
Heart.
You don't give anybody a chance.
I believe two teams
I mean, they
just
got,
gave
they
him a chance.
Jonathan Sullivan on, but they won't give this guy a chance who's just floating out there
well,
right
they
now.
They could give him a chance, but he won't make it. There you
I didn't
go.
Say he would make it, first of all. I said a name of interest that crossed the waiver wire. They signed Caron Henry 3 days ago. You're not more interested in Rashawn Woods than Kieron freaking Henry?
What about Chris Kite?
Kelvin.
Yeah, Kelvin Kite 2 days ago. You're not more interested?
I'm
saying they have guys
that
can't make the roster right now that are practicing. That shouldn't be practicing.
Guys don't get cut at this time of year. Something had to have happened.
Something happened.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back with more emails.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Great free kick diving header by Dempsey.
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twelman!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph point limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details. This is PFW in progress.
Look, those clothes, those shoes, the smell.
Do you realize where I've been since yesterday? They beat me up and stole my clothes. Those men wanted to have sex with me!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed.
Paul Perillo.
Happy New Year!
Oh, well, that's kind of you, son. And a happy new year to you, too. Could I offer either of you two gentlemen a wee jolt of Irish whiskey to usher in the new year?
Keep drinking!
Oh, son, thank you very much. No, it gives me the wind, something terrible.
Oh.
And Andy?
A jacuzzi, sir.
See, man, I knew y'all was man. You can jacuzzi nobody.
It's a whirlpool bath, sir. I think you'll enjoy it.
Andy Hart.
Oh, hey, bubbles, man! Say, man, when I was growing up, we went jacuzzi, we had to fart in the tub. This is bad.
It's some guy named Tom.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Ha 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 ha. Thank you for correcting my English with Steve. Ha 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 ha. Keep drinking time.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Look, I'm 24 years old and from a small, miserable little mining town you probably never heard of. The only thing I got going for me in this whole big wide world is this body, this face, and what I got up here. I don't do drugs. I've saved $42,000 and it's in T-bills earning interest. I figure I got 3 more years on my back. I've enough to retire on.
PFW in progress.
Looking good, Billy Ray!
Feeling good, Lewis!
All right, we're back here in PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Kyle.
Kyle.
Saddy.
Oh, Kyle's on.
Kyle, you still with us?
I'm with us. Okay. I'm here. Right. I'm ready. I'm gonna.
I think
attack.
He's cracked triple digits.
In though. This half an hour, I'm gonna attack. I'm gonna be on the offensive verbally.
Okay.
So you guys,
I'm
be
anxious.
Ready.
I'm anxious to see
Tom,
that.
Who's talking on his cell phone? Gets off the phone to say
Tom's,
that I'm a joke.
Hey, Tom's talented enough to put in more words while I'm talking on the phone than
Tom,
you were.
Tom's
for the
hitting
first
the
hour
phones right now. Tom can't be bothered.
Only
with
two
his.
Conversations right
I'm
now.
I'm talking to my people. I got some stuff.
Hey, Lee Steinberg. Right now, he's on the phone threatening some car mechanic. He's going to go over there and hit him over the head with a muffler.
No, it's a kid on a bike.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Let's take one from Straw Milkman. Tell us who you are and where you're from. Anyway, good show today, loving every minute of it. Listening to your comments on the kickers, a thought popped in my mind. Wouldn't it be a wise choice for the Patriots to keep the kicker with the strongest leg, assuming that both kickers are equal in accuracy? And if so, which kicker, in your opinion, has the stronger leg?
Yes, if they're Kowski equal, exactly leg, equal, you take close. The one with the stronger leg.
Right, and I think it's...
Unfortunately, it won't come down to that.
My opinion, I think it's been fairly even, but that doesn't mean that they're going to think it's completely
in
even.
In 30 total kicks, probably, it's been even. I mean, we can't say that they're equal at this
Have
point.
Have there been any in the stadium? Did they kick in the stadium last night,
You
Frank?
Said you like Gramatica.
No,
I
don't remember.
So. But Gostkowski has a stronger leg.
Change your opinion awful quick over there.
You learned it from watching you.
Here's your chance, Kyle. You said you were going to be on the offensive.
Quickly, you're on the defense.
I didn't change my stance. I think Gramatica's probably maybe been a little more reliable in the 30 kicks we've seen from the two of them combined.
So
but
right
Kowski
now,
definitely you can kick higher. I don't know if he can kick farther.
So
he's
so
got
Mini,
a lot
Mini
more
Kirsch,
hang time.
Listen to me, Mini Kirsch. If you had to pick a kicker right now, who would it be?
Gramatica.
Okay, that's all I'm asking.
Brian in Miami writes in, looking for your general comments on players drafted into the NFL to play positions that they did not specialize in college. Recent examples, Urlacher, Michael Boulware, Matt Jones, now Maurice Stovall, who switched to tight end for Tampa Bay.
Playing tight end?
I didn't hear about that. It might be true, but I just haven't heard about it.
I remember that Holmgren immediately stated that Boulware would play safety and not linebacker in the NFL, but I'm wondering if players like those listed above, excluding Jones, actually work out at their college position during the combine or at their projected position. Also, there seems to be a recent trend for athletic college quarterbacks that don't possess NFL arms to switch to receiver in the NFL. Sorry, Charlie Ward. Especially
I got a lot longer list than that.
He's especially interested in Tom's opinion since he seems to have great insight into college football.
Just
are there any
him.
Famous historical examples of this?
Not Albert Breer, Paul. Well, Fred, the list is like Steve Belisare, Scott Frost, Eric Crouch. The more of these guys that try to do it, the less succeed. I mean, you might get one every now and then, like a Matt Jones. But Matt Jones was a freak of nature at Arkansas. Right. I used to say to my friends when we watched him play, how is that guy doing what he's doing?
How was he running away from guys? He looked like the slowest guy
ever. He looked like the biggest goof ever. Right. And you're like,
no one ever caught him from behind.
Is this fake photography? But other than a couple guys, you're just not going to see it happen. But if he asks, they do usually at the combine work at
their projected spot.
They do it at the Senior Bowl as
some
well.
And they play. Some of it's up to choice. Like, the guy has to agree to it, and some guys get pissy and think they're still a quarterback and
like
say
Cordell
no.
Like Stewart, who could have had a great NFL career being slash, but he had to try to prove to himself that he could play quarterback. And
more often, the guys are smart enough to know if somebody who could potentially hand me a couple million dollars wants me to do something, I say, sure.
Yeah. Right.
And there's another one, Antoine Randall-El.
Exactly.
You know, who was able to accept that and recently cashed in with a very lucrative contract, free agent contract with
Washington. That's a good example, because could you imagine if Stewart had done the slash role for a couple of years, he would
have
signed
same
a huge contract.
And he's bigger than Randall-El. He may have been a better receiver than Randall-El.
Dave is from the Philippines.
This is true.
With regard to seeing the Patriots in Asia, most countries have been broadcasting the night games on ESPN Asia, which does broadcast in Japan. So the person going there has a good chance of seeing those three games anyway. I'm not sure if the changes in the networks this year will affect that, but I'm hoping not. We do get a couple of other games here in the Philippines via local cable sports channels. They've been pretty good about getting the Pats into the schedule. I'm not sure if it's because they are winners or because I email them every week to beg for more Patriots coverage. Last year, I got to see six games on TV. Of course, NFL.com does provide the audio feeds, and the Patriots are finally included in that as of last year. Before then, we had to listen to the opponent's radio broadcast, which was horrible most of the time. Thanks for the great coverage of training camp. I love watching the press conferences, and I've listened to all the podcasts. It sure is great to have daily updates. So there you go. Another vote for the podcast,
yep.
Guys.
Fred knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, the Philippines. Sure. Is that new? We got them on the map.
Yeah, you're doing good work. So, you know.
Yeah, Gary's giving me the nod.
But you should explain to them, Fred, that we hate the podcast because we don't think we're very good at them.
And we're talking about the daily ones after the training camp. The other ones are fine.
But you got to understand, these people, they're not looking for Tom Brokaw. They just want to know what happened to him.
No, I understand that.
That's all they want to know.
I understand the fans being happy with it, but you have to understand from our side that we're not really comfortable setting ourselves up.
No, we just think we're bad.
Do something, they think they stink.
Right.
Exactly.
We don't want to put out a bad product.
That's what the Patriots put their name on.
Right,
it takes us 5 minutes.
What you do on that is no different than what you're doing right now.
They worked on some kicking and stuff.
Kite.
Fred, there's a difference between having a conversation with multiple people, thoughts that are flowing back and forth, than trying to fill 5 minutes nonstop of perfect.
Listen to me. You are having a conversation. Except you're talking and thousands of fans are listening. It's a conversation. Just think of it that way.
But nobody's calling me an idiot, so I don't feel right.
Andy loves to hear himself speak, but not alone.
They teach the TV guys, just look at the camera like it's your friend and talk to the camera.
And I've seen those TV guys who are professionals struggle to do 28-second stand-up out on the corner of the field.
Absolutely.
Speaking of guys that take their shirt off.
There we go.
We should fill people in on Andy's friend who was at camp last Friday.
And hope he's not listening to this and comes and fix
because he'll come and squish Andy like grape.
There was a guy.
I don't know about that.
We all know that Andy Hart is legendary for his bodybuilding, fat.
No.
Jacked up!
Andy was very, very.
There was a guy who.
Threatened? Good word?
I would say offended.
Not directly, indirectly. Offended is accurate.
In Andy's defense, though, he hasn't been to the gym in 3 weeks.
All right, but this guy shows up, takes off his shirt, and he's obviously a bodybuilder. He's all tanned up. He's all jacked up.
Like a real bodybuilder, not just a guy who works out.
Not
like
me and Andy.
Who's
a bodybuilder.
Who has the spray on tan, who's flexing every position he moves to while he sits there, and has tiny short shorts on with his... Whatever.
And it was very uncomfortable. Andy was very threatened.
But the funny thing is that I hate him as much as Andy, and I just said, look at that douchebag.
Wait, Andy, I never said anything beyond that either. Fred was going on forever and ever.
What I was doing was throwing out little things and then getting Andy going. And believe me, all it took were little things.
That is accurate.
To the point where finally Andy said, I think my arms are probably bigger than his.
I never said that.
This is where it all culminated with me saying,
look at that douchebag.
Andy was just upset because the guy had bigger arms than he does. And of course Andy responds with,
look at that douchebag.
I'm not so sure of that.
Right. But Andy was very offended.
But let's get to the more important issue.
Andy looked like that, he'd come to work with his shirt on.
No, I wouldn't.
The more important issue is, if you come to camp, don't take your shirt off. For Christ's sakes, don't take your shirt off.
Many guys do that.
Yeah.
I don't care how hot it is.
We don't care. Go home and look in the mirror.
Some of them are trying to get recruited, I think.
And Fred Kirsch also asked that pregnant women not show up.
I have a problem with that.
In this weather.
Look at that douchebag.
Well, yeah, that's serious. I don't want to joke about that.
Look at that douchebag.
I'm allowed
to say that.
What?
We had to drop the H word we couldn't say anymore. Are we allowed to say the D?
No.
I thought that one was in bed.
It wasn't the H word that we had to drop. We had to drop the F word.
You were saying the F word on the air?
No, we were saying the H word.
The one that Ozzie Guillen likes.
All
right. Paul, you have something to say?
No.
Oh, I thought you were waiting to say something.
What would you rather be called? That one.
So
an F word or a liar?
I can say the H hyphen word.
Really?
Gary's an HMO.
Just told Tom a little while ago to get off some guy to get off the knees, whatever, and now you're worried about the hyphen word?
I thought we were specifically asked not to say HMO.
No.
Well, we shouldn't say that. I don't think it's appropriate.
You shouldn't say swears, but you do those. No.
But that's
and
know,
I was like
targeting a certain type of person. I don't think that's right.
I was really like a-hole, and I'm going to say it.
We all know what AH stands for in any heart condition. And I'll say it.
Back to the emails. Let's focus on football.
Scott writes in again. Thanks for answering my question. You kind of said what I thought you would. So, why do you think the Patriots are cruising along with so much cap room this close to the season? If they weren't looking to make any other move, why not just pay Branch? I realize that they don't have to spend the money if they don't want to, but it doesn't make sense to me. Does it to you? Could there be a trade looming? Are they dropping the ball? I was just curious. Well,
John Stone has indeed been dropping the ball rather.
First of all, they're not just going to pay a guy more than they think that he's worth because they've got the money to spend. They're just not going to do that.
It's not the way they
work. It doesn't matter if they have $10 million under,
$100 million. They made Deion Branch a contract offer before training camp, reportedly, I should stress, and he turned it down. Branch's camp turned it down. That doesn't mean that because the Patriots have cap room, like Fred just said, that they should just you know, give in to whatever he wants.
And look at it logically as a fan. I don't think anybody out there buying anything for their everyday life. If you think a car is worth $18,000 and you have $20,000, but you think it's worth $18,000, you're not paying $20,000. You're going to wait till somebody's selling it for $18,000, right?
Yeah, times have been good. Yeah. Times have been good. I don't need to spend that kind of money.
What?
No, I'm just saying, you know, like I have the extra kind of extra money, so I'll just spend it.
Maybe Paul does. I mean, he's all these media appearances. He's really elevated himself
good
to a different
guys.
Tax bracket.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whore.
Oh, my guys.
He's
you have guys.
I don't have guys.
Tom's
got guys, but they're different kind of guys.
Tom's got more
they
guys than I do.
They pack pipes and guns and stuff.
Tom's got a lot more guys than I do, believe me.
I got guys after me right now. Why do you think I'm on the phone every 5 minutes?
Tracking them.
It's funny, every time something in the office comes up like, oh, so-and-so will be in by this time or have something ready, Tom always comes up with the odds. I got 3-1 that he wants.
Tom's got a guy.
All right, back to the emails.
I just think that the cap room is what it is. They may have some cap room. It might have something to do with Seymour, but I don't think it has anything to do with...
$1,000, you missed that putt.
Exactly.
That was great.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Oh, I bet you guys into the woods, $100.
You've given up giving out the phone number, huh?
Well, nobody uses it.
Yeah, who cares?
This is an email show.
537-482.
I think the people
email driven. I reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Is he around, by the way? Because I'd really like to talk to him. I have a lot of merchandise questions I'd like to ask him.
One about a beach towel, because you know you can't buy a beach towel in the pro shop.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They don't sell beach towels?
However, the Red Sox, Celtics, or Bruins all
do. Does. Bob Stores has it.
I thought you looking for Patriots gear, you'd go to the Patriots Pro Shop.
Right, and they don't have a beach towel.
No beach towels.
Huh.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
He's never home. He's out on the porch.
I think he's always home.
He's out on his porch talking to, Floyd the Barber. And
I'd like to look at it as
Otis.
Moving on in my life and looking forward as to what's
Doug
coming.
Doug is still doing
and,
his press conference, though.
Yep. I wanted to approach.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. You've still got a few minutes to get in one if you haven't already. Let's go around the room. So far.
Are we out of emails?
What?
Are we out of emails?
I got another one.
When Tom runs the show, we don't run out of emails.
That's because it takes them 2 minutes.
No, it's all about pacing the show, so your emails fill out the show, but you don't leave too many in the hole.
Tom, you want to take over?
No.
I'll just walk away. I have other things to do.
I don't want to take over.
You really?
Take over?
Yeah, I do.
Get to the pool?
You know? So.
All
right. Let's see. Ron writes in about Jay Norwood from Atlanta.
Jarius Norwood?
He says he's got a case of fumbleitis.
Is that true, Tom? You're working on the preview.
According to Sirius Radio.
I don't know. I mean, come on. He's been in training camp for a couple of days. Who knows?
What
does that mean?
Is
that an advantage for the Patriots to win a preseason game?
I know.
I don't understand what he's talking about.
I mean,
about.
We appreciate the insight, but, week four would be more appropriate.
That guy right there, not a guy who's going to be saying, Tom Casale's the greatest.
I didn't slam him. I just said I don't know where he's going with that.
That won't curry favor with the nation, Tom.
My first hint of jealousy from... Yeah. Adam, from Adam.
Well,
what's your name again?
That?
Andy?
Adam Hart.
Andy, who thinks the Patriots will win 7 games this year. A quote by him.
No. It was a quote from my wife, who said they will go 7
said,
and 9.
And you said between 7 and 9 wins. Me and Fred think they're going to win the Super Bowl. Maybe that's why Patriots Nation like us better than you.
And we all know that it was definitely a conscious choice by you to suddenly change your tune midstream to curry favor with the nation.
No.
All of a sudden you think...
I'll take the team with the best quarterback and the best head coach. I'm with Fred.
There's the quote. There's the quote from Tom.
All I've heard you say all summer is how bad the talent is on the field.
On the field. I've seen on the field. The guys that aren't... There weren't guys there.
On the depth chart, in the locker room.
Well, was Chad Jackson there? No. Was Richard Seymour there? No. Was Deion Branch there? No. Half their starters are never there. Is Rodney Harrison there? No. When those guys come back, yeah, they're going to be...
What if they don't all come back and produce at Pro Bowl levels?
Well, you can best say running that about game every in the league. Team. You know, what if?
best running game in the league.
Now
put it up. Almost 2,000 yards.
Fred, surprised if they do.
He's starting to really...
Well, you don't think they're going to have a good running game this year?
I think they're going
to
be better.
Be a negative just to be negative.
They're going
to
be better.
I think they're going to win. Running attack in football?
I think they're going to win 12 games. That's negative.
I think Brady isn't going to sell for 4,000 this year, but they're going to have one of the best running games in the AFC.
Okay, we'll see.
And the AFC's got some pretty good, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson and...
Hold on.
Harry Johnson.
What were we going to qualify as one of the best running games in the AFC? Where would we rank it?
Top in the AFC, top three.
Okay, another 10 on that.
Now, which category? Total yards?
I'm going
total yards.
Five.
I'm
going
to go rushing.
No, total yards, yards per carry.
Maroney, rookie of the year.
Whatever category you want to take it. I'll let you decide.
Okay.
You're Mr. Confident. I'll let you decide what
that's
category.
That's $20 I got on you this year.
What is it? Total yards per carry.
Total yards what? Is what we're going to do.
Total yards.
30.
So what do we got? What do we got, Fred? Fred, we got 1,100 from Maroney. We got about 8 from Dylan. That's 19. You throw 3 from Falk. That's 2,200. You win.
Right. Exactly.
We'll see.
You know?
Oh, wait. 7 yards from Heath Evans.
Right. But it'll be a touchdown. By the way, Heath Evans?
No.
Do you think he could stay in Patrick Pass doesn't?
Oh, I think there's a chance of that.
So what are you saying no to?
Well, you think
you don't even know what I'm saying.
That should be on every position. He should be the gunner. He should be this. He should be that. You're in love with the guy.
I think he could be
a crush on him.
You know,
I was told Tabucky Jones was a gunner, and then I heard the quote that said, "I'll play special teams, but I'm not playing gunner. Or we're going."
I thought he was a vice guy.
Yeah, well, he's definitely a vice guy. He was a vice guy last night.
He's done all of that stuff, but he says he doesn't want to do it anymore.
Some would say he might not have the athleticism to do it anymore.
He also said he doesn't like training camp at all and thinks it's a waste of time for him.
Doesn't like what?
He said he doesn't like training camp at all.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Who said that?
Bucky Jones hates training camp.
He said, what's the best thing? He said, nothing's good about it.
There's nothing good about it.
He said, the only good thing is the conditioning run is over.
Well, he's not the first veteran to say it. Bruce Armstrong hated
every player. Every player hates training camp.
Except for maybe Doug Flutie.
He liked it.
He didn't do anything.
You know?
The kickers like it.
I bet you Rodney Harrison likes it.
Brewski likes it. That's why he's injured.
He just likes playing football.
What else do they let you take cheap shots at first-year players?
Not a cheap shot. It's just, you know,
that was
welcome
a bit of,
to the NFL.
That was a bit of a cheap shot. When he hit Mortensen from behind like that.
He just pushed him.
I know, but Fred, but Mortensen had nothing to do with the play. He had nothing to do with the play.
How do you know Mortensen didn't say, you missed me?
I'm going to guess he didn't.
He hasn't said a word. He hasn't even said hype.
I don't know what goes on out there.
I haven't even heard him say Omaha. Never mind. You missed me.
Mortensen's got a real attitude problem out there.
Really audible when calling out the mic.
I heard Mortensen split in the locker room.
I want you to put your non-journalism hat on. Just talk to it as if you were a fan.
That's all we have. Right. As non-journalism.
To say Fred's been wearing his since the start of the show.
You were a fan. You watch the NFL Network a lot, and you got a lot of the inside training camp at the Chargers and the Giants. And I think there's like 5 or 6 teams.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't.
Patriots
watch
fan,
the NFL
would you want that to be able to watch your team inside training camp, or do you like it the way the Patriots do it?
If I was a Patriots fan, I would want to see as much on the Patriots.
You do admit you're not.
No, you're asking me. You're asking me what I want, and I'm saying, as a Patriots fan, I would want as much information and video and sound and all of that stuff on my team as I could.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not buying it from the coach.
I stray from the philosophy. And here's where I align myself with T. Casale. I happen to think that the reason the Patriots win, for the most part, is because they're better than the other team. Not because they're secretive, not because they hide things, not because they lie on the injury report, but because they're better. They have a better coach and a better quarterback than the other team.
But that better coach does it that way.
No, I'm talking about putting a game plan together, devising a program and getting everything set up, preparation, everything. He's better than the other coaches, and the quarterback is better than the other quarterback.
Has there ever been a player or players on a team that's been distracted because of extraneous sources? Has that ever happened?
I don't distractions? Know. Absolutely.
Those
distractions
happen. Why even risk that?
We saw 53 Patriots be wholly, obviously, visibly distracted in week one of 2003. So to say that distractions
right.
don't happen.
So why not minimize the amount of possible distractions? Why invite it?
Why is it
they're
going to
happen.
The
why invite
your
there?
Idea of a distraction yeah. and my idea of a distraction are two different things.
Well, a distraction is what it is. It becomes one. If you don't let it, then it doesn't.
Don't you love how we just, like, morph into Belichick?
Distraction is what it is. You know? So.
I'm just telling you, as a Patriots fan, if I'm sitting home watching NFL Network, I don't care about the San Diego Chargers right. training camp. I want to see the Patriots training camp. Unfortunately, we can't see that.
No, you can see that
too.
On Patriots.com.
I'd like to
Patriots
go home
today.
And watch that on the NFL Network, but I think
I'd like to
one
see
of
it.
The big distractions is just in the time that that absorbs from select players and from the coach where they have, like, their little one-on-one interview and stuff. That's when
well, and the thing is, you know, as
it's
a fan, you're obviously interested in that stuff and you can't get enough of your team, but you weigh the trade-off. I'd rather win Super Bowls than, you know, be able to watch my team 24/7
I'll go on record
on
right
TV.
Now as saying whether those cameras were here or not, they would have won those three Super Bowls regardless.
Right.
I don't know.
Now, give me this.
Neither does Bill Belichick.
I don't know what the...
I have faith in Bill Belichick.
I don't know what... There's a surprise.
Belichick has only so many hours in the week, then. I'd prefer that he were breaking down film than sitting and talking to whoever...
There you go, Kyle.
All right, then why are the Patriots one of the few teams that has the head coach mm-hmm. available in a press conference every day, then? Shouldn't he be breaking down film?
Because they don't allow any of the other coaches to talk.
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't have
that
the slightest idea.
It has a lot to do with it.
You think he's the only coach in the league that doesn't allow assistants to talk in...
No one in New York.
You know?
The writers aren't happy.
Well, what's Mangini doing? Is he doing...
He's not letting anyone talk.
No, I'm talking about himself. Is he doing a press conference similar to what we're doing?
I don't know.
He's really smart.
I don't know. I have no idea what they're doing in New York. I'm just telling you that. Not every team has a press conference every day.
And the team realizes that if we're not going to let our assistants talk, we've got to have somebody talking.
I just hope Mangini doesn't have his address listed anywhere.
You truly think those things prevent you from winning? Then I disagree with your philosophy.
I agree with Paul.
Well, I just think it all adds up, Paul. Even the little things.
Listen, I'm saying if you think that those things all add up, even the little things, then he shouldn't do a press conference every day. Because that's a little thing, and they all add up.
Rob from Revere, of all the rookies in camp, it looks to me that Chad Jackson and Steve Gostkowski will have the biggest impact this season, taking into account that Branch is holding out and Gramatica is an old man with a weak leg. Well, you know, Gramatica has not shown a weak leg.
I was going to say, I wouldn't. As much as I think the other guy has a stronger leg, I wouldn't characterize Gramatica.
According to Bill, Chad Jackson hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
So, he just started practicing.
So I wouldn't assume that. I think Dave Thomas could have an impact.
Chad Jackson's had one practice. You know, David Thomas, on the other hand, has been out there for every practice and has stood out, in my opinion, in every practice.
Chad Jackson's had two practices, but his timing
wasn't good with either quarterback.
All right,
that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you next Wednesday. We've got the podcast still going on. Thanks for everyone for downloading. We'll see you next week.